Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. And I'm happy to announce I've been joined by my little buddy, Dominic Salvia. Welcome, Dom.
Hey, Crudy. Thank you, my dear friend. Good to be back with you. Fancy Brian, Evan, our fair audience. Happy Milwaukee Day. It's 4-1-4, baby. April 14th. We are going to rock it here in Milwaukee tonight.
Well, it's also opening day in Milwaukee, but, you know, we try not to acknowledge there might be a competing thing to listen to on the radio.
Well,
you don't
want
to hear about that. You don't want to hear about that. Let me tell
you
about the fine guest I just had. I'd like to thank my most recent guest, Peter Pekarsky, a U.S. senatorial candidate, a very unique resume. I was doing a little longer form with Peter today. He's an MIT grad. He's an attorney, and he was a White House correspondent. That's a hell of a resume. That's a guy who's lived an interesting life.
Who
was
he a correspondent with? What media outlet?
He called it the Washington Wire, and it was actually a news outlet he had created for himself. He was in D.C. He was a stringer, effectively.
Sure.
He was a news service, like AP, UPI. There used to be a lot more stringer services, a lot less coverage, unfortunately, than there used to be. But he was in the Nixon White House, the Ford White House, the Carter White House, and the Reagan White House.
Oh, damn.
And to hear him tell it, he made Henry Kissinger cry.
That's got to be hard to do. The man's the devil himself.
Well, you know, Dom, I've made you cry a few times.
Only with joy.
Mostly just because I wouldn't kiss you goodnight. 844-967-2789. The topic that I kind of left off last hour, and I guess Peter was an extension of the topic, Ron Johnson, the U.S. senatorial race here in the state of Wisconsin, it's starting to heat up, Dom, and they're all starting to announce their campaign halls. And Mandela Barnes, the current lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, and the front runner, if you believe his internal polling, and I think it's probably pretty close to accurate.
Sure, sure.
But he raised $1.9 million in the quarter, in the first quarter of this year.
Mandela Barnes did?
He did.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And then Lazary drops his $3.9 million in receipts.
In receipts.
That's a slightly different verbiage. The well-heeled, Milwaukee Bucks owner's son, executive on leave from the franchise. Yeah, $3.9 million. That's a lot in a quarter in receipts.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, he probably put a couple million in his
right.
own gas tank.
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, short of any money that he did not put in for himself, did he beat, because I'm pretty sure Mandela Barnes didn't put in $1.5 million. We'd have no detail on if and what.
Not yet. We don't. Let me tell you what we do know. Today, Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Alex Lazary announced that his campaign reported $3.9 million in receipts in the first quarter of 2022, far outpacing all other candidates in the Democratic primary. Talked about since launching, Lazary has received donations from thousands of Wisconsinites representing all 72 candidates and has taken no corporate PAC money. But he has taken some Lazary money, I suspect. Here is his quote. I'll share it briefly. It has been over a year since I announced my campaign for U.S. Senate, and that support that we have seen in the last year has been overwhelming. Back when we announced, I said that I will invest in my campaign right alongside the thousands of Wisconsinites. See what he's doing here? He's telling you, I stuck a lot of money in. I will invest in my campaign right along with, alongside thousands of Wisconsinites that have donated whatever they can to our effort. Since then, with the help of the people from every corner of the state, we've been able to build a campaign that is not only ready to win this primary, but also beat Ron Johnson in November. So anyways, you know, there's a little bit more. It's a press release. Brags about the 40-point swing in the polling to the Lazary benefit. According to Lazary's campaign, their internal polling, they're 40 points better off than they were, you know.
Didn't he also mean, but I mean, that is presumably the result of a, you know, $2+ million ad campaign as well. I mean, he helps put money in. Yeah, of course it helps. And while, you know, Lazary's a nice guy and could be a very good candidate, you know, when you put your own money in, you don't specify what it is. I'm assuming that he put in, that he did not raise from those receipts from individuals like Mandela did, that he did not get that $1.9 million that Mandela did. Otherwise, he would have said something about it.
Well, they had $3.9 million in receipts, though.
Writing yourself a check isn't really a show of widespread support, although I believe he's getting you know, donations from all 72 counties.
Yeah, but tell that to all the candidates that can't write multi-million dollar checks to their own campaign.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Interesting side note. You see, Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post weighed in opining and saying that, you know, Democrats must be strategic in their choice.
But she didn't offer any indication of who she prefers. Oh, she did offer some insights.
Sure, well, I mean, she did. You didn't read between the lines?
I did not. Why don't you tell me what you interpret? Because she didn't come out and say it.
Much. She does not like Mandela Barnes much. She does like Emily's list supported Sarah Godlewski quite a bit. She led with Sarah, right? If you're only going to read so far down in the article, we got to be strategic. And let me tell you why Mandela Barnes is the wrong strategy. And let me tell you why Sarah Godlewski might be a very strategic choice. I think she's showing a preference here, Dom, just from how you lay out the article. And she also mentioned Tom Nelson. But then she pulls the rug out from under both candidates because she says, Rubin says at the Post, collectively they're at 17%. And then you got the billionaire son, you got Alex Lazary, and he's
so collectively at 17%, you're talking specifically about what? Tom Nelson and Sarah Godlewski.
Yes.
Which amongst, is what? Less than half of what Mandela Barnes is currently polling.
Correct. They are cumulatively between their two campaigns at 17%. And, you know, she's quite a bit more. Or, pardon me, he is quite a bit more when you talk about Mandela. She calls Tom Nelson perhaps a scrappy underdog with pro-union bona fides, and he's a rural populist.
Yeah.
But he can't write multi-million dollar checks.
Well, he could. They just won't cash, you know.
Yeah, I got some post-dated third-party checks I'd like to take down to the bank, you know, by Monday, I'm sure. One of these Mondays, it'll make good. Those two candidates, according to Rubin, have a combined total of 17%, roughly 20 points behind Barnes in recent internal polling. So their combined 17 is 20 behind. And that's two candidates added together. And then there's Alex Lazary. She describes him as the billionaire son. 17% in internal polling after dumping $2.35 million of his own fortune into ads to jumpstart the race. She points out Rojo's a self-funder. Herb Kohl was nobody's senator, but yours, right? Can't buy Herb Kohl. I mean, he played that as a positive once upon a time, Herb Kohl.
Yes, he did.
I mean, what are you going to do when you're, you know, the Bucks owner? And, you know, there is perhaps a parallel in the resumes between Alex Lazary, you know, the personal wealth, the association with the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. And that franchise has never been at a higher point, at least not since 1971. At least not since Lou Alcindor changed his name and left town. The Bucks have never crested higher.
Yeah, but Herb Kohl actually, I mean, had Kohl's here. I mean, he was a local guy made big, right? I mean, isn't it in Kohl's, of course, the store itself?
If it were not for Herb Kohl, the Bucks probably would not still be in the city of Milwaukee.
He put money into it. So I got my
$100 million on sale he threw back in to help build the Fiserv Forum, to keep them here. Cheaper to keep them was not what he said. It wasn't cheaper for Herb Cole to keep him.
Right. Well, you can't take it with him. But, I mean, he built up Herb Cole, I see as a different, certainly the wealth is you know, the commonality between the candidates. But Herb Cole had you know, built up a local store to, you know, more than just coming in and buying a franchise. You know what I'm saying? So I think Herb had some more deeper community Wisconsin roots than Lazary does, obviously.
Do you think it's fair? She mentions the fact that Lazary just moved back to Wisconsin in 2014. She says he's a carpetbagger, or his critics on both the left and the right would call him a carpetbagger. 8 years? Is that enough? 8 years? Is Lazary a native?
It was longer than Hillary in New York, wasn't it? You know, I think 8 years is a fair amount of time, I guess. I mean, it's not like he moved in, you know, and they bought the house after he wins election, you know. So I don't see it as much of a big deal. I mean, they came here. They obviously have a commitment to the city.
He's not claiming to live in a trailer park, him and the wife out in rural North Carolina.
It's a double wide, man. It's styling. No, he's not pulling a Mark Meadows as far as I'm aware.
So, Dom, how do you think this race is shaping up? I know you and I both have personal favorites, and we've chosen so far. I mean, you can hear our enthusiasm for certain of these candidates. We like some, primarily the top tier, because they're the ones that seemingly have a more plausible pathway to victory. And our recent guest, my recent guest, Peter Pekarsky, pointed out, whoever wins the primary, they're going to have all the money they need to contest this race against Ron Johnson. This is a nationalized campaign. This could be for the balance of the U.S. Senate. And, of course, it so often comes down to the great state of Wisconsin. And our opinions, yours and mine, we can set the tone for the future of our nation, Dom. So, any concerns like Ruben that our boy Mandela is just a little too liberal? Hell, Charlie Sykes said the Republicans would love to see him be the candidate. Well, so would I. And so would many Wisconsinites. That's why he's the front runner.
That's exactly why we have a primary. We have four top tier and many more. And you know, we're going to shuffle through it and we'll figure it out. And we'll see how well Mandela Barnes and the others react to criticism and perhaps debates and so forth. So I'm looking forward to it. We have a lot of good people to choose from.
You know, I listened to our fine radio product on WCPT 820 through TuneIn yesterday. And I got force fed as I was jumping on and off. Four Sarah Godlewski digital ads on our show in Chicago through TuneIn. Come back, more Devils.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a load of money.
I so love this country.